Okay, welcome back to Pieced Off, the Ski Racers podcast brought to you by Fantasy Ski Racer, Technica, and Blizzard. As mentioned in the previous episode, we are now featuring Dave Salate of Proctor Academy. Dave has been there for about 20-something years and has really taken a program that had a lot of opportunity and really allowed it to soar, of course, with the help of his better half, Morgan Salate. And without further ado, part two to our episodes featuring the clubs. Now here is Dave Salate with the Academy perspective. Okay, our guest today is David Salate, who is the program director and the mastermind behind Proctor Academy's ski program in Andover, New Hampshire. Dave, thank you very much for being on Pieced Off. I'm finally thrilled that we were able to get you on here.
Thank you very much, Danko. I feel honored. It's been a podcast that I've enjoyed for a lot of years, so being invited on says volumes. Thanks.
So we know that sports has really evolved over the last, 10, 15 years. We also know that niche market programs have become a much more desirable, attractive thing. It has always kind of a little bit been a buzz in the ski world, but it wasn't that long ago where Proctor was just another school that offered a ski program. And yet now here it is literally on the map, known for being a ski program. And I just want to take it back to the very beginning of when that was and what kind of What were your intentions, or where was your mindset at back when it was just this little ski team in New Hampshire?
We got hired, my wife and I, Morgan, got hired 21 years ago to essentially give rebirth to a program that had 150 years of history that basically fell asleep. And when we came, we brought two very distinctly different backgrounds: traditional skiing and traditional independent school experiences. And so when we came to Proctor, we navigated a lot of complex pieces that were already there and obviously many things that weren't there. And the first lesson that we learned was I pushed very hard basically to have it be a standalone alpine program just like every other academy or elite program in the country. And Morgan pushed it really a little bit more in the other direction to create synergy between two very complex things, elite level skiing and elite level academics. And ironically, I should have listened to my wife a long time ago to kind of focus more on the synergy between those two things, because it took us about 10 years to realize that that's really what the market bears, and that was what our market really was.
Well,
Make sense?
Absolutely, and I think I completely relate to you. I don't think there's a married man out there that has ever said I should not have listened to my wife sooner. I think everybody does say yes, we should.
First thing you got to do.
So you get to this program, and there's got to be this kind of this moment where, okay, here we have this little, this little, let's say, baby, this little thing here. What were some of your immediate goals when you had this little thing? I mean, Proctor has its own little ski hill. You probably have, let's say, maybe a dozen kids, I guess, on the team. And what are your immediate goals there of trying to build this thing up?
There are a lot of goals. I mean, the foundational goal was essentially to create what is alpine ski racing to a community that really had forgotten what it was. I mean, we bloodied every single knuckle when it came to educating faculty on the basics of ski racing, what it was to be a collegiate path ski racer, let alone a national team fantasy. We revamped our entire facility, homologated hills, cut trails, created new schedules. That didn't even begin to really process finding athletes that were athletically talented as well as academically talented. And I think as the years kind of pass, we really tightened what our market was, which was to find really a program that had true synergy between the two complex things, which I talked about, because it's really easy to create an elite Alpine program, right? You hire the best coaches you can get. You find talented athletes. You give them tons of volume. You ultimately are going to produce something good. At least you're going to throw something against the wall until something sticks. And it's really easy to produce elite level academic program. You find really smart kids. You get them really good teachers. You give them tons of challenge, and eventually they come out the other side, much stronger than they entered. But combining the two really was our aha moment, and really our niche market. So as the years progressed, basically we had a talented, athletic kid that maybe was weaker academically, and then we would have a stronger academic kid that was really a little bit weaker athletically. And then over the years, we started really niche market recruiting and finding that kind of forgotten kid that was strong at both. And then we just put the gasoline behind those two components and built them up slowly. And as we started building them up, quality basically attracts quality. So you find one really good marquee kid, and then all of a sudden that opens the floodgates to, to parents to really examine what they want on their high school experience. Because the reality is, elite level skiing is a tiny, tiny, unrealistic goal on the other side. So you better have a backup plan. And we believe that backup plan was producing, a duality between the elite level skiing and the elite level academics.
What I'm kind of gathering from maybe a layman's bigger picture here, and not that you weren't able to do that for us, but like, first you're kind of bringing in ski racers to support this program, and then from there that gets the attention of the rest of your community, where they can finally say, I think we support this, and then they're willing to change and bend to create a model that works both for both ends of the development of this of the kid. I mean, is that fair to say?
Yeah, because the reality is, which I'm sure anybody listening to this, the vast majority of Alpine skiers are cut from a really unique cloth, and they are in the upper echelon of student athletes that any institution wants. So at Proctor, we were pretty strategic in the beginning of finding those kids, because essentially they had to cut their teeth and navigate that system. And once the faculty, the administration, whoever else saw the unique qualities that these kids and their families brought to the institutions, then they said, holy cow, we want more of these kids. So that relationship then built. Admissions started to support the recruiting efforts. The administration saw the value of kids being on the road 30 and 40 days during the, the winter season. And then the family said, well, holy cow. So on top of that, then they can be an off-campus program, take APs and honors, be a varsity-level football or soccer player, et cetera, and then still get the same volume of any of the best ski academies in the country. So, it was pretty unique path that we, developed through the 20 years that Morgan and I were at Proctor.
So, first of all, what you just said there was pretty cool, because for an athlete to play, for any kid in high school age to play three sports is pretty unheard of right now, and it's something that I know that I am eternally grateful for the opportunity to have been able to do that. Whereas I have, kids here in Sun Valley who maybe are playing two, which is great, but at the same time, it seems like these kids have to make a choice earlier on, maybe around the 16-year-old age, where they have to choose one or the other. But one thing that you said at the beginning of your previous comment here, you're saying that you kind of, in a way, strategically needed to make sure you had athletes that were going to be able to benefit from what was athletically provided from your Alpine program, and at the same time, we're going to be able to excel with what academically was already there. So to essentially kind of prove your point from the get-go, or at least to get the academic community to get behind what this goal of yours was all along. I mean, is that convoluted, or is that safe to say?
No, you're like the first athletes that we brought at Proctor. Basically, they navigated an impossible task, and that impossible task was really the future mission statement of the program, which was when you go on, you know, to be a parent or to be an employee or a boss or any of those things, there's no such thing as a get out of free card. You have to basically amass the skill sets to be accountable at every single point in your life. So, for example, if you're focusing in a siloed area, a single pursuit, you have the ability basically to not have to produce in other areas, and that's not really, in my opinion, life in general, right? Because you at the collegiate level, like for example, when you get to that elite level program collegiately, and you know you're away at a carnival Friday and Saturday, and you go out with your friends Saturday night, and then Sunday morning you wake up and you don't really feel like focusing, you know, on getting that paper done. Monday morning, your Ivy League English teacher is not going to give you a hall pass on that paper. So at Proctor, what we wanted to do is basically build the skill sets for kids to basically produce, you know, at every level, at almost the impossible production level, so that when they get to those places of being a parent, employee, or you know, or boss, or whatever, you will have the skill sets basically to navigate those incredibly complex situations.
I guess more to give this more clarity, you start with a hand, like two or three kids that can do this, and now you're at 20 something, 30 something. What are your numbers at now of kids that you would say meet this task?
We have 42 full-time athletes.
Oh my gosh.
So currently of a school size of 360, we're roughly a third of the population that's on campus in the wintertime.
Wow. So where, at what moment in this pursuit, I mean, and you said over 20 years now, at what moment in this pursuit, when was the turning point? When was the moment where, and what was it kind of some of the pieces that fell into place where all of a sudden you went from, you know, throwing punches underwater to all of a sudden starting to float on a cloud?
I think it's probably being more deliberate in the recruiting process, because the reality is you have to define your market, you have to define what you want to be good at, and focus on quality versus quantity. Like, for example, we had the luxury of basically of being allowed to focus on quality, so we didn't necessarily have to have a big program. We just had to find the right kids to build that program. So we built it slowly, and then the secondary piece is the staff. You know, you have to hit the jackpot in your staff. They have to be, you know, lead by example, work harder than anybody else, hold a really tight line, and the kids have to believe in them. Because the minute that you know, is the chink in the armor, then you're not, you know, your moral leaders aren't building the moral athletes.
That's a really interesting point with a quality over quantity. I think, you know, what's unique about your position is that Proctor is a school, and it was not born a ski academy, where a ski academy in some level does need to have a level of quantity that it attracts because they need to support and fill what it's doing. I suppose they could have the luxury of not doing that as well, just as, you know, small private teams do but there is a certain breaking point where you do need to reach numbers so that you can ultimately support and facilitate the actual goal of what you're trying to do, essentially talking about money here. But I think what really stands out to me and what separates this conversation from any other is that you came from a place of developing quality and starting with that, and then allowing that to speak for itself. And then, you know, even now with 42 kids, it's still not a big program, but in a lot of sense, it really is.
Yeah.
When you're talking about the high school age, I mean, this is not, we're not talking about U14s and down and the whole thing. We're talking about essentially U16, U19, and then actually, and you mentioned it beforehand, Proctor just added its own post-grad component, and now you guys are this full-on picture now, right? You want to speak to that for me?
Yeah, if you look at any of the quote-unquote Tier 1 EISA or Division 1 ski programs in the country, and if you really, you know, pull back the layers and look at their rosters, and I'm not even going to say the names of these different schools, but I'm sure everybody can imagine, you know, there are some of the elusive ones. That roster is made up of kids who are not coming directly out of high school, obviously, and certainly not the first year, and more often than not the second year. So if you want to make one of those roster spots of six, not even, we're talking about the 12, you have to PG for at least 2 years in order to get your points down to get a carnival spot. So our philosophy basically is to build scholar athletes from 9 through 12, and then we needed to bookend what we were doing. We wanted to do it in-house because people wanted to continue focusing on quality versus quantity. So we have this bit of a luxury in that we are an academy within an academy. So we didn't have to this is a little bit crass, but a full-pay bed filler to fund our top-level athletes, because the reality is within the institution, you know, of the 350 kids, we had the unique opportunity to only focus on the best of the best, the kids that can balance the academics and the athletics. So, but still, it's a rare case that you're going to make a top 12 roster of one of those elite level ESIA programs right from a graduation year of year 12. So you had to bookend it. So we had the incredible privilege of finding a PG group that was interested in a new home, and they essentially brought the same philosophic approach to quality versus quantity and aligned really well with staff and are integrated right now with our current program.
Well, to me, that it sounds in a little ways, I mean, this idea has had to have been a little bit long time coming, especially the way ski racing, as you spoke, at the collegiate level, national team level, the way things have shifted over the last, you know, 10 years or so. I mean, it's funny, I think if your goal of making a Division I team and your goal of making the national team, you know, we've said this before, they're really synonymous. I mean, it's one and the same in a lot of ways. But what I think, by not offering postgraduate, you know, it really is a disservice, because if your goal is to create quality, you want to see your product start to finish reach that maximum potential, and that does include a postgraduate program. So I imagine this for you has been a long time coming of just trying to find the right fit, put the right pieces together to achieve it.
Right, and you're talking about two very distinctly different products, two different paths, two different training opportunities, two different approaches to everything, two different management plans. So if you try to create, in my opinion, a PG program within the bricks and mortars of your existing program, you're already throwing out the anchor and putting some sand in the grease. So for us, we have a standalone PG program that is basically it doesn't have any constraints within the bricks and mortars. Their training program is around the world, so they can focus on the management plan of that specific group and their goals. So by combining, which a lot of programs do, their PG program and their non-PG program, I think you're doing a disservice to, you know, certainly to the PG program. And then focusing on the quality versus quantity, you can't build an athlete 4 years. You have to build it, you know, for five, for six, for seven. So by holding on to that athlete for a long period of time, that you and everybody's essentially having the same verbiage, you have a pipeline now. And so you're graduating what the PG program needs as a baseline ability and point profile in order to do their job.
I really appreciate the distinction there in that comment, because of it being in the PG program needing to be outside the brick and mortar. And that's probably why, and that's exactly why you don't see that as often as maybe you'd hope in a lot of these high school programs. And I really do appreciate the talking about, you know, these kids that are capable of balancing both and creating that as your market. But like, are there exceptions to that? I mean, I have to believe that there are a lot of incredible kids out there that you've even taken on that maybe didn't quite fit those molds in one way or another, but at least had that potential. I mean, are you still keeping the door and the option open for kids that maybe define both sides of the coin in a different way? Is that the best way I could say that? I don't know.
So we, is a pretty unique place in that we have historically not necessarily gotten the best of the best gear. So we take pride in producing a scholar athlete rather than signing a scholar athlete. So I would rather look for a baseline quality or skill set and build that kid, because the reality, there's a couple baseline things that you can't build. Like, for example, you can't build motivation, you can't build intelligence, but you can build pretty much everything else. So we have not necessarily inherited the fastest kid out there, but we have built fast kids. And I think that's a pretty unique place to be in the ski industry. And it's so we take pride basically finding great kids and making them great scholar athletes.
Okay, well, I really think that's also really well said and needed to be said, in that, you know, I think it's a very exciting program that you to speak to quality and to having these kids be on both sides, but really, like, you know, when it comes down to it, to be able to identify the qualities in a kid that need to occur for those things to happen, and to and get those kids, and then fostering that within your own group, that speaks a lot more to what you guys are doing, I think, than just speaking to the quality that's there happening at the moment. Like, to be able to say to meet a kid, go, hey, you know, you're not all together, but you do this and this and this really well, and you know what, that's why we'd love to have you and give you a chance. I mean, is that kind of where your headspace is at when you kind of are introduced to a new athlete?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny, but so I do almost 100% of the recruiting for the program, and then obviously I have a bigger role in recruiting to Proctor in general, and it's amazing how much better you are at evaluating the kind of scholar athlete that you want when you have your own kids. So, for example, where you live in the community and your kids are influenced by the kids that you recruit to your program, you want to make damn sure that those kids are great kids and they're going to influence your own personal kids. But for me, the moment that I had kids and as they started growing up, I started looking at the kids that I recruited for Proctor a little bit differently. So I could define that I want a lot of that kind of kid, not so much of this kind of kid. So, for example, that gave me the ability to refine the kind of kid that we wanted at Proctor. And it's kind of a really hard to describe quality, but somebody who had something uniquely special that could be a part of the group, that didn't think that they were the only piece of that group, and certainly help support all parameters of that group. And that's pretty unique in this ski industry, because there's a whole lot of me, me, me when it comes to the sport, and not a lot of we, we, we. And
yeah,
that was one of the characteristics that we tried to find, because we want kids that will support and build other kids, but we also wanted them to realize that, you know, minute 10 seconds is all about them, but pretty much the rest of the part of the day, it's all about everybody else.
Yeah, that reminds me, we have a donor here in Sun Valley that recently passed away. His whole philosophy and was outward about it is like, I give money to this program not because I want to make great skiers, but because I want to make great neighbors. And I've always thought ski racing is a beautiful vehicle for making great people. So
exactly.
So to bring that back, tie that back in is I think is, you know, necessary.
It's kind of interesting, but we have a family currently a proctor who are in the program, and they aren't necessarily the most elite level skier that we have, but they were so profoundly changed by the spirit of the team, the community of the group, that we just got a $3 million donation to build a brand new ski building, which is going to house tuning, storage, coaches' rooms, video, et cetera. So that was pretty inspirational as far as what the group basically offered to their kids.
That's amazing, because that obviously speaks for someone to step up and decide that is the kind of level of money they want to give to you. That obviously says, essentially kind of puts a dollar amount on the inspiration that you're providing. Where's this building going to go? Is it going to go at the bottom of the ski hill?
No, it's going to be an on-campus building.
Okay.
Essentially where the old ski shed is, we're going to tear it down this spring and we're going to break ground and they're going to build a 10,000 square foot building that houses,
oh my gosh,
state-of-the-art downdraft tables, all new video, coaches' rooms, equipment, boot room, a whole bunch of other stuff. So we're pretty excited.
Holy Toledo.
That would be a game changer.
This is like Division I sports stuff right here.
Yeah, and ironically, I just actually saw the article of the University of Utah's new $2.8 million facility. And they just built a beautiful new building. And so for us, we're basically rewriting e-racing in conjunction with academics, I believe. And so it's independent schools, you know, you can take APs and honors and be, you know, a national level competitor, because that's, I believe, the path that a lot of constituents want these days.
Dave, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your fall training camp. I know you guys are in Panorama right now, where I'm sure the surface is just fantastic and you guys are getting the job done. I know your staff personally up there, and I know that they're all great, wonderful people as well as good ski coaches. And Proctor Academy, built on quality.
It's been a pretty interesting ride. We are actually now one of seven programs in the country who were just invited to be a high-performance partnership with USSA. Mm-hmm. We just got our Gold Club membership. We have actually Phil McNichol, probably one of America's winningest U.S. ski team coaches in history, working with us this season, too. So, and with that said, I think if you're not learning every single day, you're not advancing. So I think that's kind of the mantra of our coaching staff. And we always invite, great leaders within our industry to come and keep us honest and motivated and trying new things and doing better than we did the day before.
Dave, thank you again for being with us. I really do appreciate it. Good luck with everything this season and the years to come.
Thanks, Taco. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you again for listening to Pieced Off, the Ski Racers podcast. That concludes the first batch of the fourth season's episodes. We will have more released probably at the end of January, very early February, with the anticipation of a third batch somewhere between February and March. And if you have any episode ideas or topics you'd like to hear covered, feel free to get in touch via DM on Instagram @PiecedOffPodcast.